Good morning. And we continue our journey through Romans. And I wonder, as you listen to that list, can you tick all the boxes? Then if you can, you're a renewed creation. And you can feel quite smug and settle down for a quiet snooze. If on the other hand, you're like me, and you can't tick all the boxes, or most of them, or even some of them, then maybe as we look at this passage, we may learn something that can help us. But first, let us pray. Open our ears, O Lord, to hear your word and know your voice. Speak to our hearts and strengthen our wills, that we may have soft hearts and open ears for your word. And Lord, may my words be your words, not my own. Amen. So, how can we do what Paul is asking? Please open your Bibles and let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 9. And let's look at those first four words. Love must be sincere. So, our Bible, the NIV, says love must be sincere. Now, I'm sure some of you know that in Greek, the Bible was written in, the Greek word for love, there are actually four words. Agape, philopos, eros, and sterage. Agape is a higher form of love, often used to describe God's love for people. People is using it here to describe what our love for each other and for God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what it should be. And again, the Greek word for sincere is be not hypocritical. So sincere is do not be hypocritical. Other Bible translations put it like this. Do not pretend to love others. And really love them. And let love be genuine. And let love be without hypocrisy. And be not deceitful in your love. And let your love be perfectly sincere. There are some other translations, but I couldn't actually get my tongue round some of those words, so I thought I'd leave them, rather than have you all giggling at what I say. Genuine agape love without selfish agenda. Love that seeks what is good for the one we love. Much of what the world calls love is self-serving. What can I get out of it? It may not be a conscious fault, but if we're honest, it's there. Consider how much romantic love is concerned with fulfilling one's personal needs. And Paul lists love first among the 13 desired behaviours. And love is more than first among equals. Why? Because God is love. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Love sets the tone. And the other dozen desired behaviours grow out of love. They are a natural expression of love. Paul is making this point because we learn from an early age how to pretend we care for someone when we don't actually care for them. For example, we speak well of someone when they're present, but when they leave, we talk about them behind their back. We tell someone, give me a call anytime. But when we see their number come up on the phone, we ignore it. We say, no child should go hungry, yet we don't donate to the food bank or any other such cause. We tell our children to behave in a certain way, yet when they're not looking, we carry out that same behaviour. We smile at someone while they're talking, and yet we're not really listening. We say we're Christians, but we do not follow Christ. We do not believe what the Bible says about Jesus, that Jesus is God, that he is the one with God, and that he was sent here for our salvation. In John chapter 10, verse 30, the Apostle John quotes Jesus as saying, "I and the Father are one." So we need to start with love. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit loves each one of us. As Jesus said in John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." God is love. Love began with God when he created the world and us. Without him, there would be no love in the world, because it came from him. God's primary nature is to love us, as shown by his rescue plan for us through his Son, Jesus. The cross of Jesus is the greatest demonstration of God's love for each one of us. God's saving work of grace in the heart of the sinner is the true source of love. God sent his Holy Spirit to us to transform us and make us new in love. God's greatest commandment is to love the Lord and to love one another. God calls us to be the love in the world that he created us to be. And the Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him first." Does the world know you through your sincere love of God and through your love of others? Not just some, but all. Okay. And we're not even out of the first verse yet. But let's look at that verse 9 again. And the next first four words, "Hate what is evil." Sounds simple. Hate what is evil. But whose definition of evil? Yours? Mine? Or God's? Now we all know, hopefully, it's God's. We cannot take joy in evil. We must hold on tightly to the things that are good. Paul is calling for a total commitment to what is good and a total rejection of what is evil. If something happens to someone you consider bad, what's your response? Good? You deserved it? I must admit, sometimes it's mine. But that is not what we are called to do. It is not the people we are called to be. Remember what Jesus said on the cross in Luke chapter 23, verse 34. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." We need to consider something very important. Real love does not love everything. We are commanded to hate evil. For love to be genuine, then we must not love everything. We cannot love everything that people do. We cannot love all the decisions people make. There is evil and there is good. There is right and there is wrong. We do not make what is right and what is wrong. Just because we call something good that is evil, or call something evil that is good, does not make it so. There is a standard that defines what is evil and what is good, and that is God's standard. We are to love good and hate evil. Okay, so we're still not out of our first verse, but let's look at the last part of that verse in Romans 12, Verse 9, the last five words, cling to what is good. What is good? God is good. When I was in India, everywhere we went to teach or preach, we would say, God is good. And the response would come back all the time. And this was India. Real poverty. No food. No roof. In some cases, no proper drinking water. No anything. But lots and lots of love. And lots of belief that God is good all the time. God is good. And we should be good to all people. Some, even in the church, can be rude and not good. And some can hurt others, inside or outside of the church. And we need to cling to what is good. Cling to the teachings of Jesus. Good is to be shown to all. Do good by doing good. This is a call for the act of kindness towards others. Do good things for each other. We all too often are consumed with ourselves and thinking about what people are doing for us or to us. Such thinking destroys love and it destroys community. We need to think about how we can show kindness and love to others. We need to ask God for opportunities to express that love and kindness. Well, I've got to say, I actually surprised myself that I had so much to say on just 13 words. If you found that boring, I apologise. But hopefully you found it not boring. Now let's look at verse 10. And the verse 10 says, be devoted to one another in love. Honour one another above yourselves. For those of us who are married, we may recognise what Paul is saying here. Be devoted to everyone. Be devoted to your spouse. Be devoted to everyone in God's family and honour each other above ourselves. In our culture today, that's a big ask. Put ourselves below others. As Christians, we are to love one another and to be devoted to each other as members of the same family. We should consider each other over our own interests and give preference and honour to our brothers and sisters in Christ. There should be no quarrelling or fractions amongst us. We should consider how to build and encourage each other continually in the Lord. This image of God's family is what we are called to portray to the world. United, loving, caring and devoted to one another. Is that you? Is that why you come to church? To meet with your Christian brothers and sisters? Or is it like a club on a Sunday morning? And in verse 11 we read, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual favour, serving the Lord. Never be lacking in enthusiasm. Are you keen to read the Bible, to meet with God's people? The other day, I had a really, really busy day. Vicars are only supposed to work on Sundays, but this wasn't a Sunday. It was a non-Sunday day, and it was really busy. Out of the house really early in the morning, and didn't get back home till 10 that night. But it was a great day, spent with Christians who loved the Lord and had a real enthusiasm for God's people, who had that spiritual passion in serving the Lord. Paul is saying that is what we should be like. We should be full of enthusiasm and passion to serve God. And you are never too old to serve God. If your body is weak, then you can pray. Prayer is the most important thing. Without prayer, nothing is possible for any Christian mission. And in verse 12 we read, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Be joyful in hope. Possibly not the greatest British attribute. We are not the most joyful of people. Dr. Michael Youssef said, why was the Apostle Paul so upbeat? His hope was anchored in refusing to doubt God's oath and God's covenant that he made with his own blood. When we're faced with times of trouble and trials and hardship, what does Satan do? What does the devil do? He comes to us and says, does God really love you? If God loves you, then why are you suffering? While your neighbour, who has no regard for God, doesn't trust God, who knows nothing about God, is a picture of health and prosperity. Does God really love you? At that moment, you have two options. Option one, throw yourself a pity party and feel sorry for yourself and be angry with God. And you have option two. You can say to the devil, devil, when you and your followers are frying in hell, I will be in a heavenly body. Devil, when you and your followers are gnashing your teeth, I'm going to be at an eternal party. So Paul is saying, don't worry, be patient and pray. And there we have it again, prayer. It's the way you communicate with God, through prayer. And in verse 13, we read, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And we're back to things, again, like the food bank. But it's also sharing all we have. Sharing our time. Sharing our love. Sharing ourselves. Share with the Lord's people and with all of our community who are in need. Be hospitable to all. Be open and giving. Invite people in and share what you have with everybody. It's strange but true. Some of the most hospitable people are the poor. If there is a collection for something, go to a poor area. And they'll give what they can't afford to give. But don't go to a well-off area. They'll just think of themselves on the whole. We all need to ask ourselves, are we hospitable? Are we a hospitable people? Do we give to the Lord and to the Lord's people that are in need? And remember, the Lord's people are everyone, not just the people in this church. And in verse 14 to 16 we read, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Jesus said in Matthew 5, chapter 5, verses 43 to 45 about love. He said, you have heard that he said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Have you ever done this? Have you ever blessed anyone who persecuted you? When I was on my first Alpha course I ever went to, a lovely lady once told me that I should pray for some people that had basically persecuted me, that had done me a real disservice, to say the very least. And I told her that hell would freeze over first. She said, well, you should forgive them. So I said, no, hell will freeze over first. I cannot forgive them. She said, well, perhaps you should bless them in a prayer. I said to her, hell is still freezing over first. I will never do that. But God and the Holy Spirit were on my case. And although at that time I hadn't given my life to Jesus, I did pray a blessing on them. And it came up a week or so later in the conversations around the Alpha table. And I said, oh yeah, I did do that prayer. And this wonderful lady said to me, and what was the outcome? I said, it's strange really, because I feel really much better for it. It's like a weight lifted off of me. It was fantastic. And as time went on, I did pray forgiveness for those people as well, and felt all the better for that as well. I blessed someone who persecuted me, and I felt better for it. God knows what he was doing. And we are to be what my nan would say. We are to be nice, which means we are to be obedient and to follow Christ in all things. We are to celebrate with others. Now that might be hard if it involves celebrating with a Tottenham supporter after they've won a cup or something. But on the bright side, it's not really liable to happen. Hasn't happened for I don't know how many years now. So we haven't got to worry about that one too much. But on the other hand, we are to celebrate with each other. And we are to mourn with those who are mourning, those who are in hard times. And we are to love our neighbour and to be humble. Are we humble? When you're telling someone something, are you telling them all about what you did, how great you are? Are you telling them about the God of I? We are to be humble and to love everyone. And verses 17 to 21, it says, do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, and I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In short, love your neighbour as yourself. Forgive them as we are forgiven by our Father. Be kind and generous. Be loving and be renewed. Be a renewed creation in Jesus Christ. Because God the Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit loves you and me. All we ask is that we love him with our whole hearts, with our whole souls, mind and body. And this other stuff will come. Remember, God was willing to die for each one of us. What is our response to God? Amen.